here on this blessed Sunday morning. We appreciate your listening as always. On today's show, it's an NFL Today Sunday, like Brent Musburger used to say back in the 70s and 80s. You are listening live. It includes today's Bengals-Jaguars game, a game you could hear on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock, today at 1 o'clock. Also on today's show, the Red season is history in more ways than one. And of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. But first, just like we addressed last week, Team A outgained Team B by more than 100 yards. Well, exactly 100 yards yesterday. They averaged 7.3 yards per carry and had more than 12 minutes advantage in time of possession. And if you had not one, not two, but three guys get over 100 yards rushing, you'd think you won that game if you're Team A, right? Well, no. Once again, and sadly for Big Blue Nation, Team A was Kentucky, and Team B was their opponent, Ole Miss. And as we all know by now, Ole Miss defeated Kentucky yesterday, 42-41 in overtime. And of course, many of the Big Blue Nation today focusing on the missed extra point in overtime. People tuning into this show probably waiting for me to dogpile onto the Kentucky kicker, saying that he missed the extra point and that's the reason we should blame him for everything that's wrong in the world. I'm not even going to mention his name. It's not worth it. You know why? I don't really blame the kicker for the loss, because Kentucky should have won the game before they even got to overtime. But predictably, the social media here in the cancel culture we call 2020, they're all out in mass last night with their pitchforks and torches ready to run this poor kid out of town. Even Lane Kiffin was quoted as saying after the game, "We've got to send the Christmas gift to their kicker." That's a very classy quote and something you'd expect from a guy like Daniel Tosh. I mean, Lane Kiffin. So what really happened in this game? Well, it wasn't the usual bottom line scapegoat himself, Terry Wilson. This time, Wilson did not make the big turnover at the least opportune time. And looking at the QBR ratings after 2 weeks of SEC play, Terry Wilson is actually sixth in the conference, much better than the 13th he would have been each of the last 2 years. He's ahead of such stalwarts as Bo Nix, KJ Costello, who we will get to a little bit later in this segment, and Kellen Mond, the Phil Steele special SEC player of the year of the preseason. Typical Phil Steele. Great magazine, great radio interview, questionable prognostications. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Anyway, I digress. For once, this loss was not at the blame of our favorite quarterback, Terry Wilson. So do you blame A.J. Rose, the man who celebrated his touchdown a little bit too early yesterday? Caught from behind as he was holding up the deuces, running into the end zone. Well, he didn't make it to the end zone, and then when he tried to score on the next play, yeah, he fumbled. Of course, the other team recovers, and he is the butt of all the jokes for the rest of the day. And of course, the next thing you saw, Mark Stoops is berating this kid on the sidelines. You know he messed up. He knows he messed up. His celebration when he was caught from behind, not during but after, was so awkward when he got up and celebrated the fact that he had a long run just to make it to the 2-yard line. It was so awkward because he knew he messed up. So did that lose the game? Well, it didn't help. But no, that's not what lost the game. As I heard all season before this summer of love for the Kentucky football program, I heard all about this secondary and how they were so good last year and everybody was coming back. But it's like the old Jim Valvano story when he went to Bucknell and Bucknell was trying to get Valvano to be their coach. They told him although they only won one game that season, they had everybody coming back. Even the guy with no thumbs, yeah, he's back too. Just because the guys return doesn't mean they're automatically better than first-year starters. I'm not saying they're bad players. They've given up 7 passing touchdowns in 2 games. Our personal blame here on the bottom line? Yeah, it's coaching. There was a moment in the second half yesterday where Ole Miss was deep in Kentucky territory, and the Cats only had 10 guys on the field. Late in the game, with the score tied, Ole Miss faced a 3rd-and-17 deep in their own territory, and Mark Stoops, who could have called timeout and saved some time for his offense, just let the clock keep on running. It's almost like he was hoping for overtime. Mark Stoops has totally improved this program. No one can deny that. The program is much better today than it was when he arrived. But the game day mistakes that he makes, they haven't changed at all. Even from having seven guys on the field during a punt return against Auburn 5 years ago. And why was Stoops chasing the refs after the game ended? What complaint did you have, coach? The pass interference penalty at the end? Well, the game was already lost by then. Last week, Auburn was outgained by Kentucky, and we jumped all over Terry Wilson for mistakes. If we could jump on a kid in his early 20s, we could jump on Stoops when he outgains an inferior team at home by 100 yards, and he's still making mistakes that cost his team the game and a chance to win. Is coaching the only reason to blame Kentucky for this loss? No, but it's the main reason. Well, that and Kentucky couldn't stop Ole Miss in their passing game. For the second week in a row, Terry Wilson actually played halfway decently, if not well, statistically. Yeah, it's hard for us to admit that. He's played okay. He's played well this season. How many times have we been able to say that? The only issue with this is he's been outperformed by the opposing quarterback both weeks he's played. That's not on Wilson. That's the defense. But how good is Ole Miss really? They gained 459 yards against Kentucky, but they also had 613 yards and 35 points at Florida last week. Is this Lane Kiffin making that much of a difference at coach? Well, according to our friend Jeff Drummond at Rivals.com, Ole Miss has had a better recruiting class than Kentucky only two of the last 4 years. Where Kiffin has helped Ole Miss the most is at quarterback. Matt Corral, 12th in the SEC last year in quarterback rating. This year he's first. No, not first in the conference. First in the nation. Did Corral figure things out overnight? Or is Kiffin just a better coach than Matt Luke, their former coach? I give a lot of that to Kiffin. Before the season, it could be argued that Ole Miss had the least amount of talent in the league, and that included Vandy. But a new coach, a new offense, makes them somewhat viable now. And as we saw yesterday, this is not a bad Ole Miss team. But it wasn't a team that Kentucky should have defeated, because we use the word should in air quotes. The numbers in the desert both agreed. Kentucky was the better team yesterday. But despite all those numbers and all those stats, they weren't. So who's the worst team in the SEC so far this season? Well, there are four teams in the SEC that are now 0-2 straight up. Ironically, all those are in the SEC East. But we grade teams a little differently here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1392.5. We grade teams a little differently here than in most places. It's one thing to have a lousy record for the commoners in the real world. Let them have their little numbers. But we have different numbers. What about us? What about those of us trying to make some money off these games? I'm now going to list for you the number of SEC teams that currently have an 0-2 record straight up and an 0-2 record against the spread. Kentucky? And that's it. There's only one team in the SEC that has lost both their games straight up in the real world and against the spread out in the desert. That's Kentucky. And it's not going to get any easier for the Cats either. The next three opponents will all be favored against Kentucky, Mississippi State, probably next week, at Tennessee and Georgia. Could you be looking at an 0-5 start? Yes, you could. And it may come down to next week and next week alone. By the way, I don't think you'll be hearing the local media types promoting their 7 or 8 win projections any longer here in Big Blue Nation. We said under 5.5 wins all summer for Kentucky this season. And barring a 6-2 finish, which would have to include a win over Georgia, Alabama, or Florida just to have a chance, there's a ticket we will have a lot of confidence in cashing as a rocking chair winner come the end of the season. So now we look forward as the Cats host number 16, for now, Mississippi State. How does a team go into Baton Rouge 1 week and defeat the defending national champion at LSU, and then lose at home to Arkansas the next week? You tell me. The common denominator here, Mike Leach. In his career, Mike Leach, 81-66 against the spread. That's 55%, but the numbers are easy to differentiate. As an underdog, Leach hits 58% of the time. As a favorite, Leach still makes you money at a 53% clip. On the road, he'll make you money too. 53.6% clip against the spread. People perceive Leach as an aloof character at Washington State, and they basically ran him out of town there. But in his career in Pullman, Washington, he was 54-41 against the spread there. Let's see how they do without him. But one thing you know about Leach, every year he'll pull off a stunner that makes you think he's a genius, and then he'll pull off a stinker that makes you think he's a bum. Amazingly, it took him all of 2 weeks to accomplish both of those at Mississippi State. And as great as KJ Costello was in week one, setting an SEC record for passing yards against LSU, Terry Wilson has been the better quarterback this season. And yes, if you've listened to this show, we've killed Wilson time and time again. And in our mind, deservedly so, for his past transgressions. But Wilson has played much better this season than the last two. Now, his turnovers were the difference against Auburn, but he played well against Ole Miss yesterday. So what do we expect next week? Mississippi State should be a very small favorite when the betting lines come out from the desert later today. And this is a very difficult game to handicap. Leach over Stoops, Wilson over Costello, dog over favorite, home team over visitor. Depending on the line, I'll look to take the underdog in this game. And that's probably going to be Kentucky. But that's not because their kicker missed an extra point yesterday. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Good news, Bengals fans. They didn't lose last week. Well, they didn't win either. They tied the Eagles on the road, which was a good day for those who played them in the desert, if you know what I mean, against a point spread as an underdog. Joe Burrow, still showing very well 3 games into his career, is the 12th rated quarterback in the latest Pro Football Focus ratings, ahead of such quarterbacks as Deshaun Wilson, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, and Ben Roethlisberger, just to name a few. His receivers have been a mixed bag so far. Tyler Boyd, being the 12th rated wide receiver in those Pro Football Focus ratings. But A.J. Green, seemingly on his last legs, he's 87th. Maybe he should be benched. That's not me talking. Those are the numbers talking. But if we look forward to today, Jacksonville visits Cincinnati in a rivalry where you can throw out the record books. And with these two teams, we ask you to please throw out the record books. Both these teams have losing records, but have been profitable covering numbers. Jaguars 2-1 against the spread, coming off a disappointing blowout loss at home to the Dolphins when they were favored to beat the Dolphins a week ago Thursday. And of course, the Bengals still looking for their first win with Joe Burrow as their quarterback. They were 5.5-point dogs last week in that tie game. This line opened. Cincinnati is a short 3-point favorite at home. Line's down to 2.5 some spots. If you can still get the 3, if you're taking Jacksonville, it'd be a good thing to do. These bets are going right down the middle. Public money is about 50% right now. A little bit of an advantage Jacksonville has in terms of getting the number. Jacksonville has the advantage of not playing in 10 days, but a lot of people like the over in this game. The over started, point total, 45.5, now up to 48.5. A couple of trends we like here in this game. We like taking the road dogs always. But we like them coming off terrible seasons of 6 wins or less in a game with a low total, less than 50, like today's 48.5. When you see this since 2003, you're on the right side 59% of the time. That's 307 and 214. So that's something we're looking at. Taking Jacksonville today. Jacksonville's getting 3, 2.5 in a lot of places now. You can still find 3 if you shop around. But the Jaguars getting 3. Let's go over that total. A lot of people are on it so far. First quarter of the season since 2003, simply going over the total in games involving teams when both teams went under the previous week, it hit 62% of the time, 113-70, including 3-1 this season. So our pick today, the Jaguars-Bengals game, if you can find the 3, take Jacksonville in those 3 points and go over the total. Those are our picks for today's Bengals-Jaguars game, a game you could hear on our sister station 92.1 Classic Rock at 1 o'clock today. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. ESPN Radio 1392.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, 27 hours. What is 27 hours? Is it a new documentary show on NBC, like 48 hours? No, it's not that. Is it some new rom-com you need to go see at the movies? No. It's not very long at all, 27 hours. It might seem like a long time. But that's the amount of time it took Cincinnati to begin and end their playoff run. 27 hours. Between noon on Wednesday for the first pitch and then the last pitch Thursday afternoon about 3 o'clock, The Reds went from a dark horse with a puncher's chance at making a deep run in Major League Baseball playoffs to a team that extended their streak of not winning a postseason series to 25 years. Keep in mind, the Reds only made the playoffs because Major League Baseball invited 16 of the 30 teams this season. In a normal season, the Reds would have sleptwalked through the final week of the season as lame ducks, just trying to get out of town after game 162 because they would not have had a season worthy of a Major League Baseball playoff spot. By the way, do you remember the last time the Reds won a playoff series? It was 1995 against the Dodgers. Future Hall of Famer Barry Larkin was the National League MVP that season, but to be honest, he wasn't even the best player on his own team that year. Reggie Sanders was, but then again, the last time I remember seeing Reggie Sanders, he was striking out about 20 times in a row in that postseason against the Braves and John Smoltz curveballs, but I digress. But back to this year's Reds, excluding a run in the last couple of weeks of the season, this team was a huge disappointment. And let's call it what it is. This isn't exactly an up-and-coming team of young players either. Votto and Moustakas, they're both on the wrong side of 30. Eugenio Suarez is 29 next season. And Nick Castellanos, he can opt out anytime and leave town whenever he wants. And don't be shocked if he does, even after a lousy .225 batting average this season. And don't think for a second they're keeping Trevor Bauer. It's kind of like when the Big Blue Nation tells people that go on the sports talk radio shows and says, Player A shouldn't go pro. Well, yeah, no matter what you say and whether they should or shouldn't, they're gone anyway. So is Trevor Bauer. He's already gone on social media saying he will pitch for anyone as long as they're the highest bidder. Well, that counts out the Reds immediately. He and Anthony DeSclafani, totally gone. So if you're happy about going into next season with this lineup of underachievers and a pitching staff that's assured not to be as good next year as they were this year, get your season tickets now. When asked about manager David Bell's status, general manager Dick Williams says he foresees Bell being back and his staff being back next year as well. Yeah, you foresee it? Did you foresee David Bell making Joey Votto bat leadoff 21 times this year too, Mr. Williams? Yeah, thank you for telling us what you foresee. So to summarize the Reds' 2020 season in a nutshell, it has to be a disappointment. They had a Cy Young Award winner for the first time in the history of the franchise in Trevor Bauer. They also had two other hotshot starting pitchers in Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray. And a lineup they invested a ton of money in the offseason to improve. All that only to wind up with the seventh best team in the National League and lose in a record-breaking playoff performance for lack of hitting. Not only that, but for our purposes, they didn't cover their win total out in the desert, and that's even bigger than anything. When you look at the 2020 this offseason, you can sit here and talk about it for months. They don't play again until the late March or early April, whenever the season starts next year. But for now, the Reds will look back on this 2020 season with a lot of regret on what could have been and what should have been, because they literally wasted a Cy Young season all for nothing. ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, the NBA season is basically over, isn't it? And we look at round two of the Major League Baseball playoffs. But first, Clark's Auto Service. I get my car serviced there all the time. Bill Clark and his staff, as good as it gets. Make sure to check them out online, clarksautolexington.com. That's clarksautolexington.com. NBA Major League Baseball after the break, right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us here again on this Sunday morning. 381-1313, if you want to call in. Other college football yesterday, as we get back to it, non-Kentucky style, I guess. Georgia, number 4, ran all over Auburn. Number 7, well, they're not going to be number 7 after this week, 27-6 in a game where it looked like Georgia had more than 20% fans in the stands, if you know what I mean. Looked like they had closer to 75%. That's neither here nor there. That's typical Athens, Georgia for you. Not that I've been there a few too many times in my life. Georgia also covered 7.5-point spread at home. That's saying something. Somebody who did not cover the spread yesterday, Clemson. They were 28-point favorites against lowly little Virginia. They only won 41-23. Alabama, number two, back up to their old tricks. Mac Jones, who was at one time a recruit of the University of Kentucky, and then changed his mind and went to Alabama. Pretty much everyone other than Big Blue Nation happy about that at this point. They defeated Texas A&M yesterday, 52-24. Am I going to pound on Phil Steele again for claiming that A&M was number five in his preseason magazine? And then he ran around all summer with a megaphone proclaiming they were the sleeper team of the preseason in college football. Well, the only thing that A&M is making sleep right now is your accountant, because they're not cashing tickets. Yeah, Phil Steele, great radio interview, great magazine. Not much on predictions, just saying right now. Florida did not cover against South Carolina somehow. They were a 15-point favorite. They only won by 14 in a game where South Carolina literally played that game like they were trying to cover the spread. But there were plenty of outright upsets yesterday. TCU takes down number 9 Texas in a game where Texas, yet again, comes out preseason ranked highly, and then they stink it up. Texas loses to unranked TCU. Tulsa, name one player for Tulsa. Yeah, I can't either. They beat number 11 Central Florida as a 20.5-point underdog. Speaking of underdogs, Arkansas was a 17-point underdog. They went to Mississippi State, next week's Kentucky opponent, and they won the game 21-14. Iowa State beat Oklahoma. There's a team that's gone down the drain. No chance of making the playoff, whatever the playoff's going to be this year. Unranked Iowa State over number 18 Oklahoma. North Carolina State beats number 24 Pittsburgh. All those teams won big on the money line. And here's one for you. Our old friend, the unranked trap. SMU was unranked, but they were 1.5-point favorite to beat number 25 Memphis. And they covered that spread, obviously. But here's the trend here. Anytime, college football, college basketball, anytime you see an unranked team favored over the ranked team, I don't care who's at home, I don't care what the circumstances are, when you see that, that's the desert telling you this unranked team is better than the ranked team, you might want to take them. That's one of the few times we look at taking favorites in college football or basketball. When you see the unranked team favored over the ranked team, and that happened yesterday and it came through, unranked SMU favored by 1.5 over Memphis, number 25, SMU brings home the money. Yeah, the unranked trap strikes again. And in the SEC, Tennessee trounced Missouri, which can't make the Big Blue Nation feel good about going to Knoxville in a few weeks. But as we look at next week's college football schedule, Florida goes to the aforementioned Texas A&M, a Phil Steele special right there. Tennessee goes to Georgia. That'll be good to see what Georgia does, coming off an emotional win last night. Oh, here's one for you. Nick Saban versus Lane Kiffin. It's hard to believe Mississippi Ole Miss didn't look forward to this one. They didn't look like it yesterday. Alabama and Ole Miss, that might be your grudge match of next week. We've got a loser-leave-town match in Nashville. No, it's not professional wrestling, Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee. It's South Carolina and Vanderbilt. The loser might be out of a job, Derek Mason, Will Muschamp. Actually, the winner might be out of a job too, so who cares? Texas faces Oklahoma. Usually that's a big game. This year, both those teams, 3-3 combined. Yeah, not as big this year. And a Wake Up the Echoes game. Florida State will travel to Notre Dame. Of course, the most ballyhooed game in this rivalry, 1992. And the ESPN will remind you of this year after year after year. It was the first time College Game Day did a show from the road. Chris Fowler did it. Lee Corso was there. And Craig James was there, the former analyst and former SMU running back, who still to this day, he and Eric Dickerson both claim to this day they never took any money from SMU. Uh-huh. Sure they didn't. But that's your college football slate for next week. Hopefully the Big Blue Nation will recover by then. But of course, this week will be the Major League Baseball playoffs. Hope you enjoyed that 16-team playoff format. You won't be seeing it again anytime soon, if ever. Granted, Wednesday's 8 playoff games in one day might have been the best day in the history of Major League Baseball for its fans, but 16 out of 30 teams just cheapens the regular season too much. Milwaukee made the playoffs this year and finished 29-31. You think they deserved a 3-game coin flip against the Dodgers to advance? No, they didn't deserve that. Then again, the entire National League Central was eliminated in the wild card round against in the playoffs. What does that say for your Reds? They were that bad, and then every team in the division was eliminated in the playoffs. It's kind of like the SEC, every SEC team losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Doesn't say much for your schedule. So now we go forward with eight teams, four divisional round series, and they're all matchups within their own divisions. So it'll be divisional rivalries. Be very interesting. Speaking of teams with losing records, the Astros, they went 29-31 this season. Huh. I wonder why. Some kind of garbage can beating controversy in the offseason. Oh, who knows? Who cares? We love teams that cheat because that's one of the few credos we have here on the bottom line with Brad Taylor. That SMU football team back in the 80s, we love them. You know why? Because they cheated and they won games because they cheated. And just like professional wrestling, we love teams that cheat. We were on Houston in the wild card round in the playoffs, and we think they're actually going to take down Oakland as an underdog again in the next round. Keep in mind, Oakland's favored to win this series, so you're getting a lot of value with Houston. Also keep in mind, all these games will now be played in the bubble, so there's no home field advantage, a.k.a. banging garbage cans for any particular team, Houston. Other teams we like in the rounds of this playoffs, the Tampa Rays. They were a better team than the Yankees this year. How are the Yankees favored? There's bad blood between these two teams, too. You can find the Rays at an underdog price in this series, and when you do, might want to take it at that very moment. Rays over Yankees in this round. As for the National League, you're getting plus 200 on both series, on both dogs in those team in those series. But still, that's still not enough value for us. The Braves, I lived in Atlanta over 20 years. I've seen the Braves in the postseason many times. I've seen this act. I know how this movie ends. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Marlins take out the Braves almost exactly like how the Braves took out the Reds. But I've seen this movie before. It doesn't end well for the Braves. Sadly, Eric Gregg, may he rest in peace, won't be around to call balls and strikes in this one. If you don't know what I'm talking about, 1997 National League Championship Series, there's an umpire named Eric Gregg, and he called balls and strikes in a game where Leon Hernandez struck out 15 Braves in one day. And I promise you, zero of those 15 third strikes were in the strike zone. That's not being a fan. That's being brutally honest. If you're bored sometime this week, all those strikeouts are on YouTube. It's a great video. It's about a minute long. It shows the little box and the ball being a foot outside every time. Go watch it. It's great. It's great entertainment. But I digress. Bottom line on the Major League Baseball playoffs, we like the chalk to advance in the National League. The Astros and the Rays at an underdog price to move forward in the American League. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Hey, we're going to do NBA and their Mac Daddy Stogies after the break. But first, our good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney. He is home remodeling and home reconstruction. He is the best in the business. I can promise you that, ladies and gentlemen. And he's our old pal, and we wish him all the best. JRCSI.com for Jimmy Skinny McKinney home remodeling. He's the best in the business. Now offering virtual appointments. JRCSI.com. Major League Baseball and the NBA and our Mac Daddy Stogies after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5. It's the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. We really appreciate it. We appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten from this show. Some negative, a lot of positive, still some negative, but that's okay. That's okay. We're still trying. We're still learning here on ESPN Radio. Just looking at the headlines right now, apparently the Saints will be playing today, although they had a guy test positive last night for the COVID-19 virus. So it looks like the Saints game will be on while the Titans will not be playing this week. It's going to be, if you're playing fantasy football or in a survivor pool or whatever, it's going to be tricky like this all year long. Some teams are going to sit. Some teams are going to play. It's going to be iffy all year. But hey, that's why we're playing these games, because we love football so much and we love to gamble so much. And because we love to gamble, that's why we have a show here on the bottom line. So let's get to our Mac Daddy Stogies, the most profitable segment at Lexington Radio. Well, the NBA season, it's basically over. Lakers beat the Heat the other night in game two by 10, depending on when you got your action down. You either covered or pushed or didn't cover, because they went from 9.5 to 10.5. 10-point margin of victory. Of course, that's how it goes in the NBA. The favorites are 1-1 in the finals, but the favorites still lead in the playoffs against the spread, 39-36. The unders are definitely leading in the playoffs, 44 and 34. Most of those, though, in the first round. By the way, the whole Doc Rivers to Philly thing, yeah, does that seem a little seedy? Doesn't that seem a little shady to you? How come he just magically just left the Clippers one day and then he, yeah, okay, yeah. Are the Clippers going to be great without him? Who knows? I don't know how they could be much worse, but that's neither here nor there. Let's look at the NBA. It's no other league, college or pro. Does it benefit you to take the favorites like it does in the NBA? Lakers up 2-0, favorite today, game three of the playoffs. Taking the favorites that had a better record in the regular season in these playoffs. If you've done that since 2005, you've hit 56.3% of the time when they're favored by six or more. And that's what the Lakers are today. And those examples has 282 up and 219 down and 19 and 16 this year. Yeah, it's over for the Heat. Take the Lakers big today and go ahead and do it game four while you can. Go over the total as well since 2005 in the NBA playoffs. If the previous game of the series went over the total by 20 points or more, like the last one did, the next one goes over again 62% of the time, 81 up, 49 down. So as chalky and as square as you can get in the NBA today, this is the only league where we encourage taking favorites and overs all the time, the NBA playoffs. Lakers, take them and then minus 9, 9.5, whatever you can get. And over 219, those are our picks in the NBA, and the, which will be finished. The NBA season will be finished by the next time you hear this show. But as an ode to the great Mike Francesa from WFAN up in New York, let's get to the league where they play for pay. That's the NFL. The Chargers in Tampa Bay. We loved it last week when we went against the Chargers. We said that was our best pick on the board, taking Carolina against the Chargers, getting that touchdown. Well, they didn't need the touchdown. They got the straight-up win. Non-conference showdown. These two teams coming off exactly opposite weeks. The Chargers lost at home, while the Buccaneers went on the road. They won as favorites in Denver, crushing the Broncos easily. Line opened with Tampa, 7.5-point favorite. It went down to 7, back up to 7.5 right now. Public all over Tom Brady and the Bucs. This line might get even higher by game time. Chargers offering contrarian dog value. And that's what we like to see, especially in a game with low totals like 45. Keep an eye on the weather in this game. Might be a little iffy down there in Florida today. Yards per play. Actually, the Chargers are a better team than Tampa this year. 5.7 to 5.4. It's always a good handicapping tool. Our trend is basically asking the question, are we sure Tampa Bay is that good? Granted, not many teams changed themselves in the offseason like Tampa Bay did this year, but 7.5 points, way too many. 62% of the public money on Tampa right now. Give us the Chargers, who looked miserable at home last week, to come back and keep it close and cover, at least, against Tampa this week down in Florida. Another game, Baltimore against the Washington football team. Baltimore, two-touchdown favorite, minus 14. Ravens looked unstoppable until they got to Monday night and then played the Chiefs. And then they lost by 14 as a 3.5-point favorite. Meanwhile, after posting a great victory in week one, Washington has come apart hard times. And they've dropped two straight, most of recently falling to the Browns and failing to cover as a 7-point dog. This line opened Baltimore 13. Everybody's on the Ravens in this game. This line's already up to 14. If you see 14.5, I would go on this as soon as possible. Washington has a little bit of an arrest advantage because the Ravens played on Monday night. Very little in this game points to Washington. 30th in yards per play. There's already talk of Dwayne Haskins being a bust and big bench suit. But today, there's no bigger home dog on the board than Washington. And the public is about 75% on the Ravens. Now, a trend for this game, take the unpopular home dogs coming off a loss straight up and against the spread. Getting less than 25% of the action since 2005. You'll win 57.3% of the time. 125 up, 93 down. It's a stinker because who in their right mind would take Dwayne Haskins over Lamar Jackson? We will. Give us Washington football team. Go Washington football team. Getting two touchdowns against the Ravens today. Cleveland and Dallas. Now, why would we take Cleveland as a dog in this game? Has Dallas been impressive this year? No. They've been one. They're 1-2, 0-3 against the spread. And the one straight up win they got was a gift from Atlanta. Our trend for this one is our road dog after a bad season trend. That's what the Browns are coming off a bad season since 2003. Anytime you see a road dog, less than a touchdown, coming off a season where they won six games or less, That team covers 59.4% of the time. We've got trends here on the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio, 1300 at 92.5. That hits 285 up, 195 down. The Browns are that team today. Look for a close one in Dallas with the Browns getting you the money. And one more. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard us last week. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak, your huddled masses, the people who have no reason to get out of bed in the morning. What has the Giants done this year to make you want to invest in them? Absolutely nothing. They haven't won a game. They have won one against the spread this year. And they got crushed 36-9 by a 49ers team last week that literally didn't even have half their team. And they were only a three-point underdog there then. Now they're supposed to fly to Los Angeles to take on the Rams, who started fast and just suffered their first loss of the season, losing to the Bills last week in a game they probably should have won. This game opened with the Rams listed as a 10-point favorite, and they're already up to 13. This game will be 14 by game time. I would wait as close to game time as I could to get this, because what we have here is a winless team off a blowout loss in a contrarian spot with an inflated line. Now, if you follow what I just said, you're the kind of person we love to hear from on the bottom line. Our trend in this game, nothing more complicated than just betting against the public on a lousy team. Team scoring less than 10 points, and now the public is against them more than 67% the next week. That unpopular team hits 63.8% of the time. Because we know in the NFL, the tide always turns. It always goes from good to bad very quickly on a week-to-week basis. It stinks, and it's ugly. But we will take the Giants getting two touchdowns against the Rams today in Los Angeles. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Want to make a little money? Christmas season is coming up. Here's our Mac Daddy Stogie picks of the day. If you're looking for the Major League Baseball series, take both major American League underdogs, Astros and Rays. Follow the chalk of the NBA. Lakers and over today. And we like the poor, desperate NFL teams that have no chance and wonder why they even got out of bed this morning. The Chargers, Washington football team, Cleveland, and the Giants. Easy money. You can light up those Mac Daddy Stogie cigars before those games even end. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, we'll preview the day here on ESPN Radio and on our affiliates as well. You have some interesting information. But first, bestlexingtonhomes.com. Our good friend Trey McCauley, he told me personally, this is the best time to get into real estate. You can get no better prices right now than right now. BestLexingtonHomes.com. He has got years, over 17 years of experience in the real estate market. He has got all 5-star rating on Willow. He's the best in the business. I personally vouch for him, unlike any other real estate person in this market. He's Trey McCauley. Make sure to check him out online, BestLexingtonHomes.com. We'll wrap it up right after the break here on ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5 FM. It's the bottom line with Brad Taylor. We thank you so much for joining us this morning. I've got good news and bad news, depending on how you look at it. Our good friend Angelo and the Angelo Show, he will not be on the air this morning. Now, Angelo is one of the hardest working men in show business. He was here yesterday doing all the Kentucky football stuff. So he got a well-deserved day off for Angelo. He will be back ready and raring to go next Sunday at 10 a.m., hopefully. And we will see his lovely face. We'll be glad to see his back, especially after seeing his front. But it's another big day of sports here on ESPN Radio. Bengals Jaguars on our sister station, number 92.1 Classic Rock. I was met with rousing criticism when I suggested Dead Air Dennis should broadcast from a billboard scaffolding until the Bengals finally won a game. But we will come up with some other wacky DJ idea for him. Make sure to listen to him every day on 92.1 Classic Rock. Here on ESPN Radio tonight, listen to Sunday Night Football, Eagles and 49ers. No, it's not Jim Druckenmiller versus QB Eagles. You Tecmo Bowl fans out there know who QB Eagles fans. That's a long story for another day. So, yeah, but are you tired of the negativity on this show? Are you not cashing as many tickets lately? Sick of the political mumbo-jumbo this time of year? Well, I've got the cure for you. Make sure to tune in to 105.5, excuse me, Christmas 105.5 for nothing but Christmas music for the next 3 months. So if you don't have the spirit yet, and here on the bottom line, we may never get the spirit if we keep losing tickets. Christmas 105.5 is the place to be for the next 3 months. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio, it will not be the Angelo Show today. He will be back next week, and we look forward to seeing him again next week. Thank you, as always, again, for listening to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We take a lot of pride in being a different voice than everyone else here in Lexington. We like it that we're different, and we talk about different stuff, and we come at it from a different angle. We appreciate the feedback we've gotten, both negative and positive. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at Bottom Line Lex. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.